Thank you. Good afternoon or good morning to those of you on the West, and welcome to today's webinar on Tiger II Planning Grants and HUD Community Challenge Planning Grants. My name is Jennifer Simone, and I'll be moderating today's seminar. Please be advised that today's seminar is being recorded. Today we'll have two presenters and then several others joining us in the room to help answer questions. The presenters will be Beth Osborne, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Transportation Policy within the USDOT, and Maria Zimmerman, Deputy Director for Sustainable Communities, Office of Sustainable Housing and Communities for the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. We also have in the room personnel from the Office of the Secretary of Transportation, HUD, the Federal Transit Administration Planning and Environment Office, the Maritime Administration, the Federal Rail Administration, the FHWA Office of Planning and Environment, the FHWA Office of Innovative Program Delivery, the FHWA Office of Operations. I'd now like to go over a few logistical details prior to starting the seminar. Today's seminar will last 90 minutes, with 60 minutes allocated for the speakers and the final 30 minutes for audience question and answer. And actually, I should go back. We actually have a 2-hour long seminar, and we'll get through the presentation and then use the rest of it for the question and answer. But if during the presentation you think of a question, for those of you who are in the main webinar room and see a chat area on the right side of your screen, you can type it into the chat area. Please make sure you send your question to everyone. For those of you who are in the overflow room and are only seeing the presentation but do not see a chat area, you can email your questions to freight@dot.gov. The presenters will be unable to answer your questions during their presentations, but we'll start off the question and answer session with the questions that were sent in advance and then the questions typed into the chat box and emailed. I'd again like to remind you that the seminar is being recorded. We'll be posting the recording and the presentation online within the next few weeks, and I'll send out an email once it becomes available. So we'll now go ahead and get started. Today's topic again is Tiger II Planning Grants and HUD Community Challenge Planning Grants. So I'm going to turn it over now to Beth Osborne, USDOT Deputy Assistant Secretary for Transportation Policy.
Well, thanks to everyone who's joined us this afternoon. I'm going to start with just an overview why HUD and DOT have combined efforts here. The purpose of this program is to support local, metropolitan, regional, state efforts to coordinate housing, transportation, economic development, land use policies. Recognizing that this sort of coordination is inherently complex, that clearly dividing work up between the various silos is frankly easy. and also that many of these more complex projects have not had funding sources to construct them in the end. We want to make it easier, have an easy path for folks to come in with these coordinated projects and get support for planning. And also get support in a way that doesn't require local or state partners to go to different agencies for different programs with different timelines and different requirements and different application procedures and therefore making it very difficult to put a broad-based coordinated plan together. The available funds are, it can be as high as $75 million. That includes $40 million for the Community Challenge Planning Grants and up to $35 million for Tiger II Planning Grants. I say up to $35 million because the Tiger II Planning Grants were authorized as part of the overall Tiger II program, which was $600 million for multimodal discretionary transportation grants. And Congress said up to $35 million of that $65 million at DOT's discretion can be utilized for planning. Going to the next slide, eligible applicants are basically any public entity, state and local governments, tribal governments, transit agencies, port authorities, metropolitan planning organization, and other political subdivisions. Private and nonprofit interests can participate, but they will have to do that in partnership with a government entity, and the government entity will need to be the lead applicant on the application. Going to the next slide. There is no minimum on the planning grants, but there is a maximum of $3 million per award. Grants can fund up to 80% of the project costs. However, in rural areas, the statute says that can go as high as 100%. I will state, however, that in our experience through Tiger One, rural areas had very competitive applications and often exceeded minimum eligibility levels by a great deal. So throughout this, one of the big pieces of advice we give to applicants is eligibility does not equal competitiveness. If you're looking to have a competitive application, you're likely going to go above the minimum eligible level. Also, we have distributional requirements, particularly the requirement to ensure that we have geographic diversity in the picks. But another thing that we are going to be looking at is diversity in the size of communities that we're funding. In the Tiger language that Congress passed, it states that a certain percentage of overall Tiger dollars has to be reserved for rural areas. And since the $35 million is a part of rural, or is a part of the overall Tiger, it will be subject to all the distributional requirements of the overall Tiger law. In terms of eligible activities, there are the transportation planning grant activities, and that is activities related to the planning, preparation, or design of surface transportation projects. Any sort of surface transportation project that would be eligible for funding under the Tiger grants, which includes highway or bridge projects, transit projects, passenger or freight rail projects, port, and non-motorized facilities. In terms of the community challenge planning grants, they can fund development of master plans or comprehensive plans to promote affordable housing that's located with retail and business. It can fund the development and implementation of a local corridor or district plan and strategies that promote livability sustainability. And it can fund revisions to zoning codes, ordinances, building standards, or other laws to remove barriers and promote sustainable or mixed-use development. If you look at the notice of funding availability, there is a long and comprehensive list of all that can be included under there, and it is not an exclusive list either. In terms of potential for combined funds, and I use that term not in a legal sense, frankly. I mean, there will be applicants that might seek and receive funding from both DOT and HUD. Some examples of how someone might do this, because these two programs are not funding identical things, they are funding related things. So for example, you might have a transit corridor being planned and you need to engineer the transit system, and at the same time you need to create some station area plans, do some land banking near the facility, and change zoning codes to permit higher densities near that corridor. And that's a perfect example of a jurisdiction that currently is going to have to go to many different pots with different timelines and different rules in order to put all of that planning together. And this is the opportunity for you to come to one place and get funding for all of it. Another example might be the relocation of a rail line that results in reconnecting a previously disconnected neighborhood, and the transportation planning that goes in the relocation, the rail line, but also the planning to redevelop that neighborhood and use that old corridor as part of the neighborhood. There are several examples that are in the NOFA of types of projects that might be competitive for joint funding, but it is by no means exclusive, and we are hoping that some applicants come up with something that we've never thought of. Innovation is very welcome here. We have a list of ineligible activities, and I'm sure this will be a topic of discussion in the questions and answers, but just looking through it, the sorts of things that we are staying away from are plans that would assist businesses or industries to relocate or benefit at the expense of another community. This program is not designed to move jobs. This program is designed to create jobs, to add to the economy, not redistribute within the economy. And if you go through this, you'll notice that we have several examples within that realm. It also is not meant to fund detailed engineering or architectural specification drawings for specific housing, capital facilities, sorts of projects. And also, we're not looking for projects that substitute these dollars for funding that's already been pledged to support community development. In terms of threshold requirements, on July 26th, a pre-application is due. The pre-application can be submitted electronically to USDOT, accessible through our Tiger 2 website. If you go to DOT's homepage, and there's a link in this PowerPoint, but if you go to our homepage, you'll see an icon for Tiger 2. If you click on it, you'll be able to access the pre-application page. It is accessible now. I highly encourage people to register as soon as possible. You can start submitting pre-applications now, but they are due by July 26th. The pre-applications are very basic information. You are not making your case yet. This is name, rank, and serial number type of thing. Most of the questions are drop-down menus or yes-no sorts of questions. There is a requirement for a description of your project, but it is meant to stay very, very short, and it's really just a description, not your making the case yet. The pre-application will give us a chance to evaluate applicants for eligibility issues, and if we do find an eligibility problem, we will inform you. If you don't hear from us, that's good news. If you do, you'll have a chance to cure that eligibility before final applications are submitted. You must submit a pre-application in order to submit an application. And final applications are due on August the 23rd. Those applications must be submitted through grants.gov. For folks that are not familiar with grants.gov, you should register soon because it takes a little while to complete your registration. So if you were to start your registration on the last day for submittal, you will not be able to make that deadline. In your application, the application for planning funds cannot be more than 15 pages. We have pretty specific outline that we suggest in order to meet all of the narrative that we'd like to see, and Maria's going to talk more about that. We want to see a work plan, budget, and project completion schedule, and we need to see evidence of a local match. In terms of the local leveraging or matching funds, we're looking for 20% of the cost of the project. However, for transportation projects in rural areas, there is no 20% match requirement. However, again, it does not hurt to exceed basic eligibility. There will only be permission for one application per project. We do sometimes see that different governmental entities will be involved in the same project. If you're looking to apply for support for the same project, you should come in together. Don't apply separately. You need to make sure that there is resolution of outstanding civil rights matters for applicants for HUD funding. So from there, to get into the specifics of our rating factors and the application, I'm going to turn things over to Maria.
Thanks, Beth. And it's been really a exciting process to have two federal agencies working together for the first time to do a joint NOFA. And so part of this has been, I think, a learning experience for us as well. But what we've tried to provide within this NOFA is both a pretty broad flexibility of the kinds of eligible activities that can be funded through these grants, but also in discussing the rating factors, and I like to say a webinar is no substitute for reading the actual NOFA. So, look through the NOFA and you will see there a lot more discussion of trying to give you as much information about what are the things that we will be looking at as we evaluate these grant applications. So to talk through these different rating factors, four different rating factors that we have here rather quickly, the first rating factor is looking at the purpose and the outcomes. And we have a 100-point rating score here, so 35 of those points to really hear from you, the applicants, of how your proposed project is going to align with the one or all six or some variation of the six livability principles that the DOT, HUD, and EPA partnership has developed. Again, we are not expecting that a project would have to say how it's meeting all six of those, but we want to hear of the proposed project that you have, which of the principles is it addressing, and very important is that we want to see data that will support those outcomes that you are seeking to address in your application. And so, you know, to talk about, we are pursuing this project to undertake upgrading of our local zoning laws that haven't been updated since 1926. And we believe in doing this, we're going to be with an eye towards affordable housing units. And so we will be looking to evaluate the number of additional affordable housing units created through this effort. And so, if you read through the NOFA, it sort of talks about things that could track at this. Perhaps it's an increase in mode share and how you'll be evaluating that. These six different principles, focused on providing more transportation choices, promoting equitable, affordable housing, enhancing economic competitiveness, which, Beth was mentioning, not a replacement, but really how in your community or your region this proposed project may be addressing that issue. Supporting existing communities, coordinating, leveraging federal policies and investments, and I would say also state and local policies and investments, and valuing communities and neighborhoods. And again, this could be applicable to urban, suburban, or rural communities. It's really looking at some of these more localized or corridor level planning activities. Rating factor two, which addresses work plans and program evaluation. Here we really want to see potential applicants describing what are the outcomes and the outputs that they are seeking to address through this funding, to give us a sense of different interim activities that you may be proposing to undertake to make sure that you're tracking and making progress throughout the grant period. We want to see a budget proposal that would include all applicable costs, so that would be direct, indirect, and administrative costs. And showing us the budget breakdown as it reflects the categories and the costs and the tasks that you propose to undertake with this funding. Next slide, please. Rating factor three speaks to the issue of leveraging, which, again, as Beth mentioned, is really a central element of the partnership and of this program. I wanted to just sort of mention, because we are combining two different grant programs, there is an important and slightly different match issue involved with those funds. If an applicant thinks that they may be seeking DOT Tiger II planning grant money, so if it's an activity that is very clearly related to transportation planning and you think fits best in that category, you need to have a 20% non-federal cash contribution for that. It can be from private or public resources, but needs to be non-federal funds. If you think that the activity you're looking at is more, you know, changing local land use plans, building codes, those activities discussed on the HUD Community Challenge grants, we at HUD are not asking for a cash contribution. It can be a cash contribution. It can also be an in-kind contribution. So, you know, staff time, other resources, meeting facilities, things that will be brought to the applicant's application, and we're calling that a leveraged resource. And so we're looking at also a 20% leveraged resources. DOT is looking at a 20% match resource.
So there are, if you're familiar with Title 23 and our rules, that there are certain in-kind contributions that are accepted within DOT as well. I think the lesson here is, if you're skirting the minimum, you might meet eligibility, but this is going to be a highly competitive program, and you probably won't be competitive. So rather than searching to barely make it into eligible, you should be shooting to exceed that, and by doing that, you will not have any worries about eligibility.
Right, and we will be looking for those. The grants that will be the most competitive are those that are really leveraging the maximum amount that they can, which, again, I think relates to the issue of partnership, of thinking about other partners that you can bring to the application that can help to supplement both the in-kind and the cash contributions from the private sector, the foundation community. Again, we've listed in the NOFA a number of potential partners that could be brought to the table. Rating factor 4 is addressing capacity issues. We want to see how well the application demonstrates the applicant's capacity to successfully implement the proposed activities in a timely manner. We are looking for those grants that are selected to be initiated within 120 days. And so we want to see here in this element of the application, that it speaks to staff are assigned to manage the project. Again, that there is some experience that some of the applicants may have in doing these types of activities. Certainly, if you're looking to do land use changes, you're going to want to have, as part of the partnership, those entities that are actually responsible for land use changes. So HUD, also to sort of note out here again, HUD, we require a commitment to affirmatively furthering fair housing and also to furthering civil rights issues. And so again, if that's something that your application can speak to, experience or commitment in doing that. And then finally, HUD also has 2 departmental policy priorities that apply to our discretionary grants. Sort of think of this maybe as bonus points. That's looking at how well will the applicant address HUD's departmental policy priorities that we have from our strategic plan. The first one is really focused on capacity building and knowledge sharing of state and local partners. And so thinking about the proposed project that you will be undertaking, what materials may be developed, what strategies may be engaged to either advance public participation, decision making, technical skills by those both seeking the funding but also working with others in their community and region. Secondly, to expand cross-cutting policy knowledge. Again, this is really looking at a commitment to sharing the knowledge, sharing the information collected. We have a heavy emphasis on performance measures and metrics. And so, again, the commitment that looks at monitoring that throughout the project and sharing those lessons learned throughout and after the project as well. So looking at the evaluation process, we worked jointly in the partnership to develop the NOFA, and we will be working jointly to evaluate the applications that we receive. And so we will have representatives from DOT and EPA and HUD reviewing these applications. Each one will be evaluated on how well it aligns with the rating factors that I just discussed, and will be assigned a score from 1 to 100. The scoring system will not determine the specific projects that will be selected for funding, but rather it will be used to generate a list of highly recommended projects. And those projects that meet this threshold will then be advanced to a senior level review team. They will be the team making the funding recommendations, looking at each of the project's merits. Again, those rating factors that we discussed before that are sort of get the first review are still in place, so not new information that we're looking at. And then in selecting the projects for funding, DOT and HUD will take measures to ensure an equitable distribution of funds, including requirements that we have to look at how funds are allocated between urban and rural, and regional and modal equity as well. And we want to make sure that these grants selected can be achievable and can help be in alignment with the purposes and the requirements of the 2 programs. We reserve the right to fund less than the amount that may be requested. And projects may be selected for either the Community Challenge Grant or the Tiger II Planning Grant, or in some instances may be selected for both. But again, as Beth said, only 1 application per project. You may be applying for more than 1 project in different applications, but again, we want to see partnerships around those that are submitted. Looking to the administration of grants, we will be issuing these as cooperative agreements. Each of the Tiger II planning grants will be administered by 1 of DOT's modal administrations. So if you have a transit project, you will be working with the Federal Transit Administration. Likewise, if it's a project under Federal Highways jurisdiction, you will be working with them. The Community Challenge Planning grants will be administered by HUD through our Office of Sustainable Housing and Communities. And grant recipients must comply with the applicable federal requirements. And again, this includes for those receiving HUD grants, compliance with fair housing and civil rights laws. Referenced in the NOFA is also mentioned to HUD's general section, which we also have a link to if you need additional information about some of those HUD requirements related to fair housing and civil rights. Grant agreements will include appropriate reporting requirements, and the period of performance shall not exceed 36 months. So we want to have all funds awarded and obligated by September 30th, 2012. Applicants should be prepared to initiate eligible activities, again, we mentioned this, within 120 days of the effective date of the grant award. As Beth mentioned, we are anticipating this is going to be a highly competitive grant program. I think that's reflected just by the number of people who registered for today's webinar. The maximum grant amount is $3 million. So again, think about that as you are looking at which projects you want to be submitting for funding. And again, just sort of a quick synopsis here, thinking about how can you make your application the most competitive, look at what we've discussed in terms of eligibility. Is your application addressing the criteria and the outcomes that we've discussed in the NOFA, again, relating to the proposed activity, how it supports those livability principles, and how you will be evaluating progress towards those outcomes. Certainly looking for clarity in the applications that we receive, a heavy emphasis on leveraging investments and partnerships, and really, again, as Beth mentioned, seeking this funding to hear and see what kind of innovative strategies can be pursued locally and at the regional and state level to help, again, share that knowledge throughout the country of new strategies that can help break down silos, can help do things in more effective and efficient ways to partner together and to address some of the barriers and challenges that we're facing. For additional information, we do have on both the HUD and the DOT page websites, and it's hud.gov/sustainability or www.dot.gov/recovery/OST/TigerII for Tiger 2.
If you go to just dot.gov, you'll find it very easily.
That's much easier. So if you go to either of the websites, you'll get the link to the pre-application site, which again, pre-applications are due by July 26th. We also have developed a frequently asked questions because we have been getting a lot of questions since the grants were released last week. And you can go, and that's a good place to check first before you email us to see, has your question already been addressed? And the answer may be right there on the website. We have fact sheets about the program. We may get some questions on this last week. We also at HUD announced a Sustainable Communities Regional Planning Grant. And I know some folks have had questions about what's the difference between these two grant programs. We have a side-by-side on our website to help you look of which of those two, if you're seeking funding, would be the most appropriate to look at. Again, the Tiger II planning grants and community challenge grants on the HUD side, we're really focusing this grant program on some of those more localized strategies. The regional planning grants are regional, much more integrated, comprehensive plans. We are also going to be doing, updating with tweets as additional questions and answers come on board. And just as you are participating today, we will continue to have additional webinars with external stakeholders and are very happy to do those. So again, email us, contact us if we can be of assistance in getting you additional information.